as I was going to the Lord and seeking what he wanted to talk about, what he wanted you to know, what the text ought to be, I thought about what we covered last week and the fact that just like Israel, we don't seek God when we should. We don't go to God first. We'd rather do it our way. We don't think that God's solutions are the best solutions. We think our solutions are the best solutions, and God ought to sanction that and come a running. We don't think God's timing is the right timing. We think things ought to happen the way we think they should happen and the timing that we think those things should happen. And I said, Lord, you know, why is that? I spent time based on what you wanted, Lord, last week, letting people know the problem that we have, the problem that Israel manifested when their solution was right around the corner. They couldn't wait. They wanted to do it their way. Why are we like that, Lord? Now, we could go to the simplistic and say, well, because of Adam and Eve and we have sin. But the simple fact is that it really comes down to faith. We lack faith. Now, sometimes it's not faith. We want to do what we really want to do. We didn't go to God because we didn't want to hear from God. You ever not go to somebody for information or advice or an answer because you knew what you were going to hear? You didn't go to that one because you knew what you were going to hear. There's a lot of people that avoid me. I'm not that popular. That's not my testimony. But I have a few people who come to me and who literally listen and do what I say. But yeah, there's some folks that we avoid some people, don't we? Because we don't want to hear what they have to say, so we want to go to somebody that'll tell us what we want to hear. Or at least not what that one person was going to say. And so we don't go to God. We neglect that. But there are those times when you really do want to do what God wants you to do. You really do want what's best. You do want God's timing, but why can't we wait? Why can't we do it God's way? It comes down to faith. Do you think you have faith? Do you think you have godly faith? Do you feel like you have enough faith? Do you exercise that faith? But we're going to talk about faith this morning. You think, well, we covered that already. Oh, I'm sure we've covered that in many sermons, but you'll see how today is different. So the answer is, it's a matter of faith. Now, let me just tell you a little bit what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about faith that is something you conceptualize. I'm not talking about faith that you theorize. I'm not talking about faith that you think about or have just in your heart. We've covered this. I'm not talking about your belief in some event that happened in the past. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about faith that leads to action. I'm talking about faith that actually makes a difference. Having faith is a good thing. But one could say that faith is an action word, that faith is a verb. It isn't, but faith leads to action. And as we try to walk this walk on behalf of the Lord and for the Lord and in the Lord, there are times when we need our faith. Amen? Amen. How many of you have something hard that you need to do? And even if you don't have anything hard you think you need to do, if you want to get to the other side of that river where your purpose is, you probably have a hard wall you need to break through. And the question, why haven't we broken through all of those walls? Why haven't we gotten to the other side of that river? Very often it's because we're paralyzed on this side of the river by a lack of faith. And so faith, when you have it, and we'll go to the word in a second. As a matter of fact, before I tell you what I was going to tell you, let's go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to read verse 1. You could probably read it. Many of you could say it without even reading it. Now, or furthermore, because this is actually an artificial break in the action. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, in the sermon, Faith is a Bridge, and you can go to the website and listen to it for yourself, I broke this verse down word for word. We're not here to break this down today. We just want to look at the essence of it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. The idea behind it is that you have something to stand on. You have something to hold on to. You have something, however you want to look at it, to cover you from danger, even though you cannot see what you're hoping for. How many of you are hoping for something today? How many of you are seeking something today? How many of you are trying to get somewhere today? And you cannot see your solution. You just cannot see your way out. We're talking about supernatural vision here today. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. So we're talking about something that people can't see around you, and you can't see in the physical. But the faith I'm talking about here goes beyond the faith that causes the improbable to seem likely. That's a good step, right? Something is improbable, but you say, I think it's likely to happen. That takes some measure of faith. And there's a measure of faith where there's something that is impossible, at least we think so, and you say, no, it's possible. That's someone that you think has a pretty good measure of faith. But the kind of faith I'm talking about, where you can see what isn't there or what appears not to be there in the natural realm, I'm talking rather about a faith that I'm going to dare to call crazy faith. Because for hard things, for difficult walls, whether they be mental, emotional, physical, financial, you need what you could call a crazy faith. And a crazy faith could be described this way. It is believing that something that may be very difficult, if not impossible, is inevitable. Inevitable is different. Inevitability is different than just possible. We're not talking about something that's just impossible and you think it's possible or probable. We're talking about your belief that it is inevitable. And the craziest kind of faith is when you understand and believe that the impossible is literally inevitable. Can you reach that far? Can you believe that the impossible is inevitable? So we're talking about crazy faith, faith in things that have never happened before, faith in things that make no sense. You know, when we talk about people crazy, have you seen crazy people, homeless folks? There's your homeless that just don't have a home, and then there's folks that are suffering from the lack of our psychological system, our behavioral health system. What do? They talk to people that aren't there. They reach at things that you can't see. So you call them what? Crazy. Amen? And we're talking about Christians with crazy faith. They speak things that you can't see. They move toward things that you can't imagine. They hold on to a belief that you cannot visualize. We're talking about a crazy faith. I don't know if you're grabbing a hold of this yet, but some of you, I'm telling you, for what you're trying to break through, you need crazy faith. You need to believe the unbelievable. You need to understand that while something may be improbable for you to reach your destiny, for you to be who you're supposed to be, for you to show up on time where you're supposed to be, for you to be the person that God created you to be, for you to live out your life's purpose, you are going to have some crazy faith. You're going to have to look crazy. to yourself and to somebody else. You're going to have to do things that you think other folks are going to look at you and say, what in the world? You're going to have to do some things that stretch you out of your comfort zone. Now, believe it or not, you already have crazy faith. You just don't know it. You want to know what somebody has faith about? You want to know what somebody has crazy faith in? Look at their lives. Look at their lives. Let's go further to the word. We're going to stick with Hebrews, but just be prepared. We're going to be jumping over to Genesis as well. This Hebrews chapter 11, if you read this whole thing and into chapter 12, which we often do not, because when we look at the hall of faith, it just sounds like stories. We believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and if you read it, if you read a lot of Paul's writings, it sounds like Paul. But we have no confirmation of that. And one of the reasons to step back and wonder if it really was Paul's, because we know that Paul was the apostle to whom? The Gentiles. And who was Hebrews addressed to? The Hebrews. And so we believe, though, that this is indeed Paul. And so we get all heavily into, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That sounds really good because we like the idea that we can have the stuff that we want. We like the idea that we can hold on to the belief that we're going to have what it is we aspire to have. And even when we get spiritual with it, like we did in that sermon, Faith is a Bridge, and we get down to verse 6, and we say, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must first believe that he is. You must believe that God exists. You had to believe something to come here today. You must first believe that he is, but just believing that God exists isn't good enough. But you must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a requiter of love. I don't know if you've ever asked a girl out and got a no. Don't know if you ever put your heart out there and got it broken. But love is not always requited. But God says, if you diligently seek me, I'm going to run toward you twice as fast as you run toward me. So if you want to get it for real, if you want to not be disappointed, focus on God. If you want to be disappointed, focus on people. So that's the faith we usually talk about. But the word keeps going. And then it gets all Jewish on you, and it gets all Old Testament on you, and it gets all story-like on you. So we sort of stop. I know those stories. I know about Abraham. I know about Noah. I know all that stuff. So we stop there. There's nothing there to tickle the fancy. There's nothing there to really preach about. But we're going to cover those areas. Because if you pay close attention, when we read chapter 11, verse 1, faith is a noun. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. But when you go further, you will see that the writer begins to say, by faith, they did something. Through faith, they did something. And so faith is no good if you don't use it to do something. Amen? So we're going to take just a couple of examples from all of this hall of faith. And we're going to learn, I'm going to hopefully give you a picture, a biblical picture, of this crazy faith that you all need to break through these walls so that you can get to your God-given destiny. And some of you already know what God wants you to do. And it takes crazy faith to do what God has told you to do. It took crazy faith to open up a church at this hotel in the middle of a city full of churches. It took crazy faith. Why? Makes no sense. And yet everybody in this room can point to a life circumstance, something that's been changed, a wound that's been healed, that wouldn't have happened if we didn't all step up to the plate. Who could have seen that? Did you see it? But God said, go here and do that. Crazy faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Hebrews 11, and we're going to look at verse 7. It reads thusly, by faith, that means through faith, using as a vehicle faith, which is what? The ability to see something that is not there. Crazy faith causes you to act like something is, even though it isn't. Now, here is the crazy faith I'm not talking about, where you get an idea and you decide that's what's supposed to happen, and you want to, quote, speak it into existence, and then it's supposed to happen. And actually, God's supposed to make it happen because you got an idea. That is not what I'm talking about. I call that crazy for a different reason. Because insanity is keeping on doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And when you do that kind of crazy faith, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You may as well be like some people are this morning in Vegas instead of church. I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm talking about faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? So that means that God has spoken. God has told you to go to the other side of the river. You're not just trying to go over there because it sounds good. You're not just trying to go over there because your friends dared you. You're not trying to go there because there's a pot of gold over there. God said, Abraham, leave your family and go to a place you know not. And when he got there, he said, all this is yours, and yet you're still living in tents. He died living in tents. He died not getting that promise. But he lived walking continuously toward that promise. The city he was looking for had a foundation, but it wasn't made with hands. Crazy faith. Crazy faith. So the Bible reads this way in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing by what? Being warned of God. Is all this faith, real true faith, including crazy, 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 nutty cuckoo faith, starts with God. If it starts with you, it's just game playing. If it starts with you. If it starts with you, then when people look at your life, they see things work out sometimes and work not work out other times. And then you say, well, the problem is that person didn't have enough faith. Or the person outside of the church says their God is really not that great a God. So while you play that game with speaking it into existence and all this naming it, claiming it, rejecting it, the outside world is harmed. Non-Christians are harmed because they can stay in their atheism. You know why? Because atheism is consistent, if nothing else. There's a reason beyond you why you shouldn't play those games. First of all, the Bible doesn't tell you to do that. Second of all, the world gets to see, why would I go? I can go to Vegas. I can go to a tarot card reader. Why go there? This stuff is so inconsistent, up, down. And then when you live that kind of life and you play that kind of faith game, then you got to add to that lying. You know it's true. Don't you dare say it's never happened in your life. Don't you dare. Because then you got to duck and dodge. You got to make it look good. So you got to tell half the story and you got to embellish. Because you're trying to have this perfect record, right? Because your God, little g, your little g God, you want your little g God to look good, just like a God that you were to build. You go and you clean it up. You don't have to do that with the real God, by the way. But you got to clean it up because you want it to look pristine. because that's your God that you built. You harm other people that we are supposed to be there for through this crazy, not the good kind of crazy, faith that originates with who? You. This not good faith starts with you. You get an idea. And then you think that your faith can be so strong that you can make that happen. You believe that if your faith is strong enough, God's supposed to follow you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of who? By the way, that word is not logos. That word is rhema. That means the spoken word. Now, it doesn't always have to be an audible word. You may feel it spoken on your heart. The point is, God tells you, this is what I need you to do. This is what you're supposed to do. This is where you're supposed to go. But how? I guarantee every one of you right now trying to make a decision, and you're making it on your own. You're looking at just natural consequences. You're looking at natural criteria. And God is right there. Right there. We talked about it last week. So, all right, we go back. I'm going to get back to where I was. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. This is what ties it to verse 1. Okay? So, this means that God has warned Noah about things that have not yet happened. More than that. He wasn't just warning him about things that had not yet happened. He warned him of things that had never happened before. Ever, ever, ever happened before. Before Noah, there had never, ever been rain. God is warning Noah about rain. Now listen, it's never happened before. How are you supposed to believe something that's never, ever happened before? There was no reason for rain. The water came bubbling up through springs in the water, in the ground. There was no need for rain. Noah, there's going to be rain. Rain? So I'm telling you something's going to happen. Not just that you can't see. You can't even imagine it. Most of the things that you ask God for and you believe a miracle for, you can imagine how he's going to do it. He'll never do it the way you think. But you can imagine it. You can imagine winning the lotto. You know, you can imagine, you know, getting a lawsuit. But I'm talking about something you cannot imagine because it's never happened before. Can you hold on to that kind of thing? Can you have that kind of crazy faith? Can you reach out and grab at little men and animals? Can you talk to somebody that's not there? Crazy faith. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Understand, that's not just it hasn't happened yet. Things that have never happened before. So if you go telling somebody that you're holding on to something that's never happened before, are you going to look crazy? You going to sound crazy? They're going to say, okay, Martian. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We're supposed to be Martians because this is not our home. But not because we're going around naming it, claiming it, refusing it, rejecting it, you know, speaking stuff into existence that we think is supposed to happen. That's not the kind of Martian you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be somebody who, it makes no sense. My God said to do that today. So I'm doing it even though it makes no sense. I don't have the money to do the thing, and it seems like that thing requires money. I'm not talking about a preacher saying that this is what we're supposed to do, church, and the church goes broke doing it. It's not what I'm talking about. Where God guides, he provides. And we're not talking about robbery, robbing from the poor to give to the rich, like some of us preachers do. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. move with a respect for God, a fear for letting God down, and let alone a fear of this unknown thing that's about to happen. When was the last time you were moved with fear? I don't know. Did your mother ever whip you? Your father ever whip you? Okay. Were you ever moved with fear? Okay. Moved with fear. Influenced by what could happen. And so you act. Faith as an action word. Not like, oh, yeah, let me ponder that. What would happen if something like that could happen? Moved with fear. This is Noah's response. Moved with fear, what did he do? Faith is a noun, but its result is a verb. How many of you are believing something in your mind and in your heart, but you're not doing anything with it? We know your real faith. We know your crazy faith, especially by what we see you do. Amen? So he is moved with fear. What did he do? He prepared an ark, a boat, on dry land, mind you. He's preparing this boat to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, that sounds like almost a lot of sort of spiritual gobbledygook there. So we need to go back to Genesis chapter 6. Let's do that. We're talking about crazy faith. My prayer is that somebody leaves here today with some crazy faith, because you all need it. And actually, like I said earlier, you all actually have it, and we're going to touch on that before I'm done. Mm-hmm. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 13, just follow me. We're going to look at 13 and 14, and then we're going to jump to 22. Because we need to look a little bit further into this situation where Noah is moved with fear to act in a way that had to look crazy in his day. Rain? There is no such thing as rain. So I'm going to go build a boat on dry land. That only makes sense if there's going to be too much water. And it's one thing to say it's going to come up from the spring. But rain? They didn't know anything about rain. So chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, it reads, "And God said to Noah." Now, by the way, God is sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's just give the context. He's sick and tired of mankind blowing it. "God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh is come before me.'" Done deal. "For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth." Now he tells Noah what to do. He says, "Make thee an ark," and he gives him specifications, "of gopher wood. The rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." This is that sticky stuff that will make it waterproof. "And this is the fashion which thou will make it of." Now, that's where he goes into the details of how he should make it. God can also and will also give you details. The problem is he doesn't give you the next instruction because you don't do the first one. Now, let's go on down to verse 22, the last verse of this chapter. After he's given him all these specifications and told him which animals to bring and to bring them two by two and all that good stuff, what do you see in verse 22? "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded." What do you think of that? Does that sound like us? God tells you to do something pretty crazy. Doesn't make any sense. Never been done before. Not logical. And you just hop to it. Okay, God, you say jump. I say how high? Is that us? No, you need crazy faith. You need crazy faith. Now, sometimes it's us, but we need to double down on that. We need to keep doing that. It gains a momentum. You can't just do it sometime, because you take one step forward, four steps back. So Noah obeyed. Let's go a little further down. Chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. We're going to hop to 10. And we're going to understand this crazy Noah faith. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. These are the instructions. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, and the male and the female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of the earth. So he gives him the reason why. Now, what verse 4 and 5 is what I'm trying to really get to, and then we'll get to 10. He says, for yet 7 days, this is, people don't pay attention to this, they don't notice it, they know about the flood and all this sort of stuff. God told Noah, I want you to do something that makes no sense based on a circumstance that's never happened before. So it makes no sense that you would do it. And even if you tell your friends, they're going to say that makes no sense because that condition has never even happened before. Even if somebody said do this or that because of a nuclear weapon, you know at least that's happened before. But if you said it before one had ever been dropped, it would say, what? A bomb that you can't, you all of a sudden it spreads out for miles and kills everything in its wake or in its path? That doesn't make any sense. A bomb that can explode above the earth and somehow it's knocking trees down a mile, that makes no sense. They wouldn't understand it. We fly planes around centuries ago. What? They wouldn't know what in the world are you talking about? How can you attack somebody over there without your men getting on a boat going over there? It would make no sense. They had terminology for a day's journey. Why? Because you had to walk. Or go with a donkey. That's how they measured things. What does he say here? For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Now, we know about the 40 days. That's what people know. Quiz anybody. How many days did it rain? No, 40. How long did Noah have to do what God told him to do? 7 days. How many of you knew that? 7 days. God told you to do something. Has he told you to do something? Have you done it yet? If you haven't, has it been more than 7 days? Or has it been longer than what he told you? He had 7 days. He had to hop to it. He did not. This is crazy faith. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. My actions show it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And what? My actions show it. Faith is a noun, but it gives birth to action. Action that's not based on what you can see, but the God that you can hear. So Noah did what God told him to do. And he said, for yet in 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now notice, if the rain is coming down and the springs are coming up, you get a flood pretty easily. So 40 days and 40 nights is going to rain. In every living substance and I have made all, I have made will I destroy off of the face of the earth. And what does it say in verse 5? Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And you better believe he had to do it quick. And you better believe he didn't have that much help because he was doing something ridiculous and crazy. Unless you're in a cult, you don't have a lot of help when you're trying to do something crazy. Because you're going to be off the beaten path, and people like to hang out on the beaten path. They like to hang out on the path that has been tread by many because that, you know, that groupthink is powerful. So let's go on to verse 10. It says here, now remember, if you're believing in what God said, it's not going to fail. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. When it came to Abraham and folks like that, yeah, they died before all of it happened, but you can best believe it was going to happen. Now, if you want to just name it and claim it, that's a different ballgame. And it came to pass after how many days? So if Noah didn't handle his business, what was going to happen? He was going to drown. and he had 7 days to handle it. Could he hem and haw? Our problem is that we get so much more than our 7 days, and we don't die. The bigger problem is what you cannot see when you fail to see what God is trying to show you. What you don't see is that you are drowning. You are drowning. You just don't die, but you're drowning. And you could be swimming in difficult waters, maybe, but you could be swimming toward your destiny in God. Just because a thing is difficult doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to do it. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to deal with some difficult stuff to break through your walls to get to do what God wants you to do. Some of you aren't even in the game because you can't get past your emotional baggage. You aren't even in the game. Even if you sound like you're in the game, you know how to talk the talk. You can quote the scriptures. You can sound spiritual. You can have the form of godliness. You ain't even in the game. Because the inside of you has not been released. We have not even seen you. We don't even know what you really look like. You ever seen somebody delivered of a demon? Or actually truly delivered emotionally? They look. Some of you, we don't even know what you really look like. We just know that you can memorize scriptures. We just know that you can mock and stand when people say stand and move a certain way and act a certain way, because that's what we've been socialized to believe that Christianity is. But by the way, there's as many denominations as there are, there's that many forms of worship. For some, this is piety. For some, you're spiritual only if you dance and your flesh moves. Some, if you preach, you should have on a robe, and that shows respect. Others, you should be as sharp as you can be, as much gold as you can show. Because if I'm successful, you're going to be successful, because you know that's how we roll. Mm-hmm. My Bentley, you get shine because of my Bentley. You get to brag on your pastor. Don't know if you can pay your bills. Because you're paying mine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all true. So he said he was going to bring this water, and he did on day 7. So crazy faith will cause you to do crazy things or things that look crazy. Noah is a great example. And somebody here needs to get off the snide. And get with it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith in God is God says it, I believe it, that settles it, my actions show it. If you don't get that last part, okay, we're going to put up a memorial to what you believe in your mind. You weren't created for that. You need to do that to get to heaven. You've got to believe that blood was shed for you, but you're not there yet, right? You're not in heaven. You're here. So why are you here? Are you here to sit down and put your hands up and look all holy and believe something? If you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's mostly an action chapter. If you get past verse 1, even verse 6 says you're diligently seeking God. It's an action word. So now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the faith chapter. And now we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 19, and we're almost done. Now we go to Abraham. We're talking about crazy faith, right? Believing in things that haven't even happened yet, so you're certifiable by definition. How are you going to, that makes no sense. It's never, ever happened before. So how are you going to hold on to that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith is an action word. It cometh by God telling you something. You're not holding on to nothing. You're just holding on to something you can't see. 17 through 19, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, Abraham was told what? What was the promise that Abraham was told? Father of nations. That he would be, from his seed would come people who would be numbered more than the sands of the sea or the stars in the sky. Amen? Amen. So he's going to be the father of nations. This is the promise that he had. So in order for that to happen, they weren't talking about adoption. Talking about it has to come from his seed, from his loins. He had to be the natural, the biological father of at least one. And in this culture, it had to be at least one boy. And he's about to offer up his son. Now, what's not covered here, you have to go to Genesis for it. This isn't just any son. He's not offering up Ishmael. He's offering up the very son that God said the promise is going to come through. So now, here's the vehicle for the promise, and you're going to give up that vehicle. Does that make logical sense? You're going to get blessed through this. I want you to destroy this. All right. Abraham was told that through Isaac would the promise come, and Abraham is being asked to kill Isaac. Now, if you had the crazy faith that the Bible's talking about, and I said, shut it down, you would say like Abraham said, all right, then if we shut it down, guess what? I could just see God raising it up. Don't know exactly when, but I tell you what, I'm talking about belief in things you cannot see. But not just not seeing, belief in things that are inevitable. Inevitable, not probable or possible. Inevitable. It's inevitable that we're going to be on the other side standing victorious for God. So what happens in the middle can sound crazy, but doesn't matter. It's inevitable. So by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. So by faith, which was the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, because Isaac believed that what God had promised him was not just probable, not just likely, not just possible, but literally had to go down. Why? Because God said it. See, now, do you think of your God that way? If you thought of your God that way, when he tells you to do something, you do what Noah did. You don't think of your God that way. Your God is sometimes a little, he's not a little g God, but you spell him with a little g. Abraham offered up Isaac, which was the source of his promise. The very source had to be. No substitutes allowed. And I'm going to kill him. I can do that if I believe God's word will come true invariably, inevitably. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac is where your seed is going to be called, and kill him. The money that you saved up is what's going to pay for, by the church. We worked really hard. We gave. We did all sorts of things, events and all that sort of stuff. Now, we, you know, not here. We probably won't be doing no events. We don't do that. But we saved up. We did all our stuff, right? And then I get up here and say, okay, we're going to give it all to the poor. Now, I just said this money is for the church that we're going to build. I said we're going to give it all to the poor. If God told me that that church is going to be built, it's inevitable. So it doesn't matter that we give it to the poor. Now, we can imagine, let's see, if we give it to the poor, and the poor might do this, and then somebody might do that. However God's going to do it, don't matter. But in Abraham's case, he accounted that God was able to raise him up from the dead. If that's what it takes, I've never seen anybody raise up from the dead. Now, I've seen miracles. I've seen a son come from two people whose bodies were dead. But I've never seen the dead raised, right? Faith for one miracle can give you faith for other miracles. And if God's miracles in your life don't give you faith for other miracles, then what good were the miracles? What good were they? What have you done for me lately, faith? What do you think God thinks of that? How do you think of that when people treat you like that? You've done all these things, and the one little thing you were imperfect on, they blow it up like World War III, and they don't remember any of the good things you did. So he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. In other words, he could see it happening. I'll kill him, but you know what? I know it's so inevitable. I'm imagining God raising him from the dead. Where is your imagination? Not based on your crazy thoughts, but based on what God has said. What would your life be like if God told you what difference you were supposed to make in life, when you came to understand that the way you were beautifully and wonderfully and amazingly made was intentional and you had something to offer this world? So now all of a sudden the barriers in your life aren't that important, because your impact on the world is inevitable. Crazy faith. Inevitable. God planned to use you. All you got to do is yield. Guess what? It's going down like that. Even Stephen's impact was inevitable, even though he died what you would consider premature. No, his journey, he was just a sprinter instead of a marathon runner. His life wasn't a tragedy because his purpose didn't die before he did. So to stay in touch with God and his purpose for your life, through good and bad times. Anybody can do it through good times. You've got to have this crazy faith. Now, you all have this faith. I've now pointed out what it is. Hopefully that's clear to you. But now I'm going to tell you, you don't get to opt out because, well, Pastor, that's nice, but I'll sit this one out. I don't quite have that kind of faith. I'm going to tell you that you do. The problem is, as usual, people always do what they really want to do. You don't get an out. How many of you work a job? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look pretty crazy going to work every day. It's only possible you would get paid. Well, no, let's upgrade it. You probably will get paid. Mm-hmm. How many of you believe you possibly would get paid? How many of you believe you probably will get paid? How many of you actually go from week to week, not a business owner, the employees? You don't count, because you might not get paid. But those of us who work a job for somebody else, you don't walk around wondering if you're going to get paid. Now, it's pretty crazy to believe that a man-made circumstance is that reliable, that you literally walk around with your eyes closed and just knowing it's inevitable. Don't tell that to WorldCom. Don't tell that to those companies that went kaplooey in the bubble. But we have crazy faith that some electronic thing is going to happen on Friday, and we're going to have what we need to take care of our families. We believe it's inevitable, and so we go to work and leave with nothing. Biblical days, you got a day's wage. You didn't have to wait and wonder. You go to work and you go back home with nothing, and you go to work again, and you do all that they ask you to do, and then you go home again. Why do you do that? You look crazy. You left there with nothing. You fool. Imagine. But you believe it's inevitable you're going to get paid. Oh, you have this kind of faith. You have this kind of faith. You go to work for 14 days before you get paid. Some people can't come to church 14 Sundays in a row. Where's your faith? Where are your priorities? It's not that hard to have commitment in the things you really believe in. Mm-hmm. You believe in championships, you don't miss playoff games. How many people miss playoff games because of injury? We have the real estate boom, right? People took out those loans. I know I mentioned a lot. They take them out because the prices are rising, and you believe it's inevitable that they're going to continue to rise, and that's why you take out the crazy loan. Because you believe it's not just possible or probable. It's going to keep going up. So you're already counting your pennies. Literally, the loan writer will tell you. The broker will tell you. Here's what's going to happen. It's been going up by this percentage point. As a matter of fact, we'll close on this day. Let's do a little quick thing. It'll close on this day, and in 3 months, you're going to have $50,000. And see, what you can do is you can take that 50, and then you can refinance, and see, I can get another fee. That's what he ain't telling you. That's what he's not telling you. First of all, this loan ain't so hot to start with, okay? But why do we do it? We don't do it because they say, you know, you might make some money. You believe it's inevitable. You all have the ability to have this kind of crazy faith. It makes no sense. And afterwards, you look pretty crazy when it all breaks down and you're looking for some government bailout, blaming the lender. That wouldn't work without what? Your crazy faith. They can tell you anything they want. It's your crazy faith mixed in with some covetousness. The I wants. But it's so inevitable that things are going to go up that it's not just that I want it. I have to convince myself I have to do this. I'm a fool not to do it. Everybody else is going to leave me behind if I don't do it. I'll never be able to afford that house if I don't do it. You have doomsday preppers who believe it's inevitable that there will be race wars or nuclear war. So inevitable that you see their faith manifested in action. So much so that a verb is changed into a noun. Doomsday preppers. They're preparing for doomsday so much so that their commitment to their crazy cause puts Christians' faith to shame. They have shows about how they're preparing. Do they have shows about us preparing? Do they have shows that show how committed we are? No. They've got crazy faith. They're so committed, they believe that thing is inevitable. People with Ponzi schemes and multi-level marketing. They show you, they do all the rah, 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 and you are so convinced that if you just work the program, you're going to have what that person on the top of the pyramid has. And you know what you see that person doing? You see the action as a result of their faith. You see them going to the meetings. You can't get them to go to the nursing home with you because they're going to the meetings. You can't get them to come to church because they're going to the meetings, working the system. They believe it's inevitable. If they do this, they will get that. Now, sometimes crazy faith can be worked negatively, and some of you have it and you don't even know you have it. There are times when you believe it is inevitable that your relationships will go sour. Sometimes you come to believe it is inevitable because of pains in the past that he's going to leave me. Oh, yeah. You can believe you're not lovable. So it's inevitable that things are going to go sour. So you know what you do? Your faith, your belief, your crazy faith results in action. You know what that action does? It fulfills the prophecy that you already believed. So as soon as you see a little glimpse of it, you start acting like somebody that knows he's going to leave me. You start acting like somebody when you are loved. You start acting like somebody that's not lovable because it's inevitable. So I may as well go along with that program because I believe it to be. If you don't believe that, the first time something happens askew, you have a conversation and maybe an argument. But if you believe it's inevitable, you start acting as ugly as you think they see you. So you have crazy faith. You believe stuff that makes no sense. You believe things that are not based in reality. You already thought that all men are bad, or all women are bad. So as soon as you talk to your friend, that's all you need is a little priming. That's all you need. One statement, one thought, one innuendo, and all the good goes out the window. Because why? They're just tapping into your faith. Your crazy faith. And you know why it's crazy? Because you got a good one and you're foolish enough to blow it. Crazy faith. So now that you realize and you know what crazy faith is like, and I would dare to challenge you that you need this crazy faith to do what you need to do, to break through the walls you need to break through. And I'm also telling you, you have this crazy faith. The question is, how are you using it? Are you using your crazy faith to go to a job dutifully? Are you using your crazy faith to ruin your relationships? Are you using your crazy faith to justify your covetousness? Are you using your crazy faith to believe that if you just eat right, everything will be perfect, so you drive everybody crazy about what they eat every single day? All of a sudden, the internet told you. Somebody believed it was their God-given purpose to start talking about you should eat this way and that way. If you live long enough, you have, see, this is the thing. All of the folks that talk like that, I promise you, genomics is going to take it all away. Because all of a sudden, it's not going to be about lifestyle. It's going to be about your genes, and it's all going to be kaplooey. But there's people who feel special because they got that figured out. They can tell you what's in this and what's in that and whether it's organic. It's all going to be, I promise you, it's going to be about the genes. Because it's mostly about the genes. That's why this one can eat and eat and eat and eat and eat perfectly, and then poof, they die. And this one can drink and smoke and do all that, and then they live a long time. And you look at the two differences, and statistically, often it does not bear out. But if you're trying to sell something, it bears out. If you're trying to manipulate people's minds, if you're trying to control people, then you got to say it's about what they do. That doesn't mean that it doesn't matter to take care of this temple. I'm talking about when you're trying to manipulate and control and monetize. Play, and you give people faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the internet. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the television. All the things that we talk about that we believe in so much, where do we hear it? Is it because God came down and told you eat organic? Huh? Did God tell you that? No. Faith cometh by hearing, all right. But sometimes we talk to, we have our own little voice. And that's what we act on way more than what God says. So if you want to make a difference, you really want to rock and roll with God, then you need some crazy faith. And so some of us have already activated our crazy faith. You know how you can tell? Because we're doing something. We're doing something with it. It's better to follow a crazy vision that God gave. How about that? Let's get a little hand praise.